Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, how are you guys doing this morning? Vera's shaking her head. We'll pray for you, Vera. Lord God, we pray that you just open up our minds to the Word of God. This isn't the Word of men, but the Word of God. It's a privilege to stand here and preach the Word of the Lord that brings life to us. And it's going to be a little different this morning, and you'll see why as we get along. I'm going to be preaching on the gifts of the Spirit in a different way. And, you know, the more we are able to define things and call them by name and describe them, we feel the closer we get to reality. And I was taught in school that that's actually not true. So everybody says that the most elemental particle that we can ever find is the atom, right? So we can all get that one right. However, the atom is made up of particles too. Electrons, neutrons, protons, three. But it's a little bit more complicated than that. So you see that something in your mind with a circle of electron going around and a hydrogen nucleus with, you know, a proton, neutron, whatever's in there in the nucleus of that atom. But that's not really true either. They say you can't really tell me where that electron is. So they describe it now as an electron cloud. So they say, oh, I really don't know what that is. But you do. You see, because your brain is formed and starts to learn things by what's happening around you without describing it. So a child, just a few weeks old, you bring the child out into the sunlight, like I did my grandson. He was like 2 weeks old, and the sun was shining brightly. And as soon as that sun hit his eyes, he put his head down, and his eyebrows furrowed, so that the sun was not in his eyes. He doesn't know anything about electron clouds. He doesn't know anything about photons, neutrons, whatever. He doesn't know any of those things, but he knows when he puts his head down, things change. And so he learns almost immediately there's another thing he can rely upon. Not in his mother's womb so much, but as he was born into this world, and he's acutely aware of gravity. He doesn't know how to describe gravity, what causes gravity, why it's bothering him, but he uses it almost immediately to push his feet against the floor, trying to stand. Even at a couple of weeks old, you put a child in that position, and he pushes us down on his legs. Well, how can that be? And suddenly, you know, years later, these poor astronauts are thrown up into the sky where they don't feel gravity anymore. And they have to learn how to deal with it. May not be able to describe weightlessness, but they have to learn how to deal with it. And so the toilet broke down, I don't know how many times, but quite a few times. Things fail because you are depending on gravity. Well, what a crazy thing. And I remember Christina was saying that she has the best sleep when she's in zero gravity. So she's been on the space station several times before she went on this Artemis expedition around the moon. And she was learning how to sleep in zero G. She says, the best sleep ever. Can you imagine? A mattress with no lumps. Well, that, right? Well, that's what space is like. You just sleep out there, and you're in complete comfort once you get used to the fact that there's no gravity. Because when you roll over in your bed, what are you using to roll over? Gravity. And also the other thing, the electron clouds of things around you. So when I push my hand against this pulpit, what is it that allows my hand to do that and not go through it? Well, electron clouds are bumping into one another and they're not letting that happen. And so, but there's electrons and things in the air and in the water, but how come that doesn't work the same way? Because they're different densities. We know all these things through eighth grade. I mean, eighth graders know all this stuff. In fact, they know more than I do, I'm sure. My 14-year-old grandson knows more than I do. He was having trouble with some screen time the other day. And I said, Luke, you're going to have to learn how to deal with this. You're going to have testosterone your whole life. So he's learning how to deal with things he doesn't know nothing about. Your heart does things. What does your heart do but pump blood around? And the first thing that blood does is give you oxygen. You can breathe and live. That's the eighth grade stuff, right? But the other thing it does is give you sugar so you can metabolize it and keep your body warm. If you didn't have that, it wouldn't be long without sugar, and you'd be in a big trouble. And hormones. That's how cells talk to one another, through the hormones that they excrete and communicate with the brain, and the brain communicates back to them. All kinds of ways and things that you've learned how to do, even if you don't know. So you can maybe never go past the fourth grade, and you still know all these things instinctively because you have to live in this environment. But because you live in the United States and you went through eighth grade, you know all these things. But you realize quickly that you don't know anything. And one day, in your 20s perhaps, you go outside and you seriously look at the stars, not just casually. And you suddenly see some stars that are not there one day, but are the next. And what is that about? And it's like, oh, those are planets. I remember going to Hawaii, and we were every Hawaiian hotel, motel, whatever, have places where you can go on the roof, and they'll show you the stars. And because it's beautiful, there are really dark skies in some of the islands in Hawaii. There's just nothing else around. Beautiful. So I was up there, I think, with Jessica, I'm not sure. And so I was pointing out to her where the planets were. So the guide says, he is an amateur astronomer. I said, how do you know that? Because they change. The fact that you were just able to point at Jupiter and Saturn means that you know where they are and what they are. And they're used to seeing them in different places. They don't just go out when it's convenient. You go out with your telescope when it's not convenient, and you see what's happening around you. So the Lord has given us a job to do, as he did Adam. He said, Adam, I want you to name all the animals and plants. You know, be Linnaeus, you know, the name of the start, beginning of binomial system of nomenclature of all plants and animals, right? Genus and species. I want you to do that, but in the Old Testament, you name things about how they are and how they did things. And so he was able to do that, and that's like a lifetime job, do you think? Right? I never saw that before. That's a grasshopper, Americanus, Americanus. And so we begin to name things and understand things a little better. And I learned the other day something, you know, that the astronauts went into space and they saw all these planets in the solar system. Most of them are like taken aback. They already know this. Eighth grade knows all the planets and some that are no longer planets, like Pluto, poor Pluto. Someday they're going to make him a planet again. But I found out something that I didn't know, and that is there are more planets that don't have a star than there are ones that do. So there are literally trillions of planets that don't have a hope of finding a star. I don't know that the astronauts thought about that, but I did. I thought, you know, it's like the Earth. It's like our souls, human beings. There are literally millions of people that haven't got a clue who Jesus really is. They may have gone through the eighth grade in their Sunday school about who Jesus is, but they don't really know. And as you learn to worship the Lord here, there's something about your knowing Jesus that lets you know you don't know. There's a lot more for you to learn. And every time I think, I get it, Lord, he says, no, you don't really. I love you a lot more than you think I do. And the things that I put in your heart are a lot more different than you think they are too. And I'm out after you to change you into my likeness, not the other way around. You're going to be kind when it's not convenient for you to be kind. There's going to be things that you need to put on and things that you need to put off. And so we go into and dive in to the scriptural reference of what are the gifts of the Spirit. Now, there are different catechisms. A catechism is in a structural environment of church life. And the Catholic catechism has a different idea of what the gifts of the Spirit are compared to the Protestant catechisms. I said plural because Protestants go in all different directions. Is that true? I mean, that's one thing we can say about the church, is that they're all over the place. Isaiah, let's start with Isaiah chapter 11. And it starts talking about the gifts of the Spirit in a way that's not talked about in the New Testament. Now, I'm sure the Apostle Paul read these scriptures, but he didn't bring them to mind. It says in verse 1, "And there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of its roots." And we know that who that is. That's Jesus Christ, our King. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall." So whenever the Spirit of the Lord shall do something, that should perk up our attention and say, I guess I better take notes. Well, a lot of people don't, but the Catholics did. They said, okay, these are the seven gifts of the Spirit. And this is where we think we know something, and maybe we really don't. Because he describes the gifts of the Spirit differently than the Apostle Paul. And the lines between the gifts and the fruit start to blur a little bit, almost like the electron. It's electron cloud. Don't tell the Holy Spirit what he has to do and not do. It doesn't work. It's like a child trying to look into the sun. It doesn't work for him. The first one is rest upon him. So the first gift of the Spirit is rest. That sounds like a fruit of the Spirit, doesn't it? The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, where we get word of knowledge and word of truth. That's 2 and 3. The Spirit of counsel and might. We don't hear that one very often, the Spirit of counsel. That would be godly counsel. And might, that's power. The Spirit of knowledge, and right next to that is the fear of the Lord. So that's 7. The 7 gifts and or whatever you want to call them, something comes from the Holy Spirit. Let's call it that. His delight is the fear of the Lord. And not in a fear in a sense that he's a fearful God as a taskmaster, but rather of his, once we know the Lord, it's a fearsome power that he has. So we know that we love him, and that love is a fearful love, that he loves us so much, he's able to overcome all of the things that could crush us and keep us safe. That's from the fear of God. What are the outcomes? It says, "And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears." Now, that is a fruit of the Spirit if I've ever heard one. How do you become a righteous ruler or someone who's supposed to watch over the body of Christ? How do you do that unless you have the eyes of the Spirit and the ears to hear? You've heard that before, but not in this context. Verse 4, "But with righteousness he shall judge the poor." That who will? Jesus. "And decide with equity for the meek of the earth." Sounds like Matthew chapter 4 and 5. "He shall strike the earth with a rod of his mouth and will break, and with breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked." There's judgment coming. It isn't, the Lord doesn't come without judgment. There is judgment coming. And those who are evil better be careful, very careful. Repent and turn to the Lord. Verse 5, "Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins and the faithfulness the belt of his waist." So right next to that judgment, you see that it is an unrighteous judgment. There's righteous judgment and faithfulness that he puts on. Then he begins to talk about a different environment than what we find. If you go out in the woods today, you'll find predator and prey. But here it says, "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb." Well, that doesn't happen in Alaska. Just isn't happening. "The leopard shall lie down with the young goat." that doesn't happen in Africa. The calf and the young lion and a fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. That little child is our Lord Jesus, who came as a child upon the earth. The cow and the bear shall graze. The young one shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox, things that are not natural. So the things that are not natural are going to happen in our midst. Get ready for them. The nursing child shall play with the by the cobra's hole. The weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, or the kingdom of God. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. You could underline that, highlight it, whatever you want to do. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. How? All these other things that you held as being axioms in nature will not be true anymore in the kingdom of God. And it will be in the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Nothing will be exempt. So it's like when a flood comes in, everything gets ruined. And he is like that. But when his flood comes in, a different order is established. I cannot evade him. Can't somehow hide from the righteousness of God. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. The resting place of the Lord, we all seem to fall short of. No matter how old you are in the Lord, how experienced your testimony, the resting place, the Sabbath rest of God, eludes you. Say, I'm almost there, but I'm not quite there, Lord. So you do things. You worship more, pray more, read the scripture more. You do all kinds of things. But there's only one who can change everything that you are. There's only one. It's not you. So we try to change us by purposing to change us. You know, I agree with purposing. I purpose to love the Lord, right? I agree with that. But I don't rely upon that. I don't say that's the end all. That will work all the time. No, not necessarily. Things can be very, very different this time around the mountain. How many know that? Right? That's true. All right, let's go to, so these were, these Old Testament, this Old Testament scripture of which the Catholics make their catechism are intangible things. Something happens in us, and yet we're not able to look, like really bite into it. Whereas in the New Testament, there's real tangible evidence of the gifts of the Spirit. Thankfully, just like when you get water baptized, and the tangible seal of the covenant is you're all wet now and you weren't before. You go into the waters of baptism and you come out resurrected life in Jesus Christ. But the evidence of that is the fact that you're all wet. And everybody around you, your brothers and sisters, are saying, boy, did you get wet. Here's a towel. Dry yourself off and let's worship the Lord. And many times the Spirit of the Lord comes down and people speak in tongues for the first time in their life after they come out of the waters of baptism. Oh, that's a glorious time, wouldn't you say? When you hear the tongues of angels for the first time, what went through your brain? It's like, this never happened before. Should I look into the sun? I don't think so. But there's something there that you have a hunger for you didn't even know you did. So you try it. You say syllables that don't make sense to you, and you see and feel the angels worshiping with you with the tongues of angels. Paul talks about that. He says, I speak in tongues more than you all. I wish that you would all speak with tongues of angels and things. But even that isn't going to save you. These are gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit are tangible, but they are for a purpose of changing something that's intangible within you, and those are the fruits of the Spirit, like love, peace, and joy. Those are something that happens inside you and are not necessarily evident outside you, not tangible. So I can really love you a lot, and you might never know until I say I love you. Then it's tangible. Until I gave my wife the wedding ring, tangible seal of the wedding, of our commitment to one another, and she can say, I'm sorry, pal, I'm already married. God gives us spiritual gifts. For that reason, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul was very much into spiritual gifts, as was the Corinthians church. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Paul didn't want anybody not to know, eighth grade knowledge, of what's going on. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to dumb idols. However, you were led in a different way. So you're carried away by dumb idols, but you're led by the Spirit to a different place. Verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, they may say the words, but they don't understand them. Verse 4, there are diversities of gift, but one same Spirit. So I say, I have a special gift. I know what people are thinking before they do. You know, good for you. But there's a diversity of gifts. You don't have them all. God may use you in ways that you never thought he would. So you say, I will never have a ministry of miracles, and suddenly you're laying hands on somebody, and it happens. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, or evidences, but in the same God works all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit, so he's talking about tangible evidence, is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given. And now we list them. There are 9 of them, not 7. So this is the foundation of the Protestant catechisms. The word of wisdom through the Spirit. So wisdom, we already talked about that. The word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Talked about that one too. Faith by the same Spirit. So faith is a gift of the Spirit? Yeah, that's what he's saying. The gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Oh, I know what's going on here. How did you know? The Holy Spirit gave you evidence. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. So the last two are the ones the Pentecostals like to dwell on, whereas the other Protestant churches would go for the first 7. The tongues of angels, the tongues of, you may not understand. Paul always says this about tongues and interpretation of tongues. I wish you would all prophesy, but pray for interpretation, because if you're just speaking in tongues of angels, you don't understand what they're saying. So you want to know what they're saying. One time I woke up and I was praying in tongues. And I said, what am I doing? What am I saying? And the Lord says, you're giving instructions to the angels tonight. Really? That's kind of cool. But it's not just cool. It is what he is doing in you and through you. But who are you praying for? And the angels are then dispatched to that person's life, fighting against the enemy that wants to have them for their own. And then he says, okay, the last one, and the interpretation of tongues. This doesn't happen very often here, but it used to happen a lot. People would speak in tongues in the middle of assembly, and everybody else was finished praying and singing in tongues, and they would say something in tongues, and somebody else would come forth with an interpretation in English of what that meant. It still happens occasionally. But why is it not popular anymore? I don't have the answer to that question. But it should be restored, because it's one of the gifts of the Spirit. It's a manifestation. It's tangible evidence that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. and that he is doing what he wants to do in his kingdom. Oh, God. Any amen? Okay, David's not here to help me here. But every one of these gifts, the Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, not what you think your ministry is. Oh, I have a ministry of speaking in tongues, interpretation. Not necessarily. The Holy Spirit is much more diverse and more, He does what he wants to do. Bob Mumford used to say, remember, always give God 3% to do anything he wants to do. That's true. Amen? But there is unity and diversity at the same time. And that's hard for people to accept. I go to that church and I feel very uncomfortable because I'm not familiar with the interpretation of tongues. I'm not familiar with that gift at all. And so I reject it or wall it off, put it in a box, lock the door. Or you can't lock the door of the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, for as one body is, for the body is one, has many members, but also the members of one body. Being many are one body, also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. So there are a lot of ideas about baptism, so I'm really kind of scrambling your brain about your definitions of what things are this morning. Not just electrons and protons, but what things are in the Spirit. It says, wait a minute, we're baptized into a body? I thought there was baptism in the Spirit, baptism in water, but what is this baptism in the body? There it is. Verse 12. One Spirit, we're baptized into one body. So that shows me that if I don't believe that, there's something deficient in me and my understanding of how God works in the body of Christ. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all things have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And that's all Paul's trying to say there. The next chapter, verse 1, says, though I speak with the tongues of angels, and I referred to that earlier, but I don't have something else. I don't have one of the fruits of the Spirit called love. I become, in other words, the gifts of the Spirit are for a purpose, not to make you look good, for a purpose of bringing forth on the earth something in you that's intangible. If you don't have love, you'll become a sounding brass, a clanging cymbal, noise, basically. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, oh, I know a lot more than you do, and all knowledge, I know more than you do, and though I have all faith, oh, man, I can remove mountains, but if I don't have something inside that's intangible called love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I just do so many wonderful things. And though I give my body to be burned, but I don't have love, it profits me nothing. So that's this teaching a little different. And it's not just giving you something tangible, but the fact that all those tangible things, word of wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues, is for the purpose of the fruits of the Spirit to come into your heart, the intangible place. So what are they? And we'll go to Galatians chapter 5:22. By the way, there's some things you might notice that are missing here in this text that Paul gave us, like administration, like what about apostles, prophets, and teachers? What about them? What are their gifts? That was another context of what he's talking about. It's a coalition of these things in a person and in a team, if you will, a plurality of elders, for example. They might be evident, a word of knowledge. Is that true? I sure hope it's true. I remember coming to the elders when we first came back to Fountain. I said, what are you guys doing? And, you know, it'll be an hour and a half of trying to find solutions to problems. And we could never agree on a solution. Right? I could never agree on a solution to a problem. I said, that's not what I left here, you know, 10 years ago. Our reason we got together is because we love one another and we wanted to encourage that bond of love and relationship together in the Lord so that we could be friends full of loving kindness. So we're going to talk about the Spirit. So what are these nine gifts of the Spirit? Well, love in Galatians 5:22 says they're really obvious. Love, joy, and peace. That reminds me of the 60s. Love, joy, and peace, brother. You know, it's like, we believed in that. So when I first heard that coming from Dale's mouth, I said, so what's the big deal? You know, peace, brother. And I said, this is not Dale. Something's different. Something's different about this love, joy, and peace that wasn't in Woodstock. I heard a brother from New Hampshire saying, maybe we should resurrect some of the things we learned in Woodstock. Like the real love, joy, and peace. That joy that the enemy cannot take away because they've already been through the test of fiery trials and the joy is still there. And the peace that he tried to take away, he's clawing it away from you, and yet it's still there. And the love that you never thought you could love that brother or that sister, you just said, I'm never going to be able to do that. They always would say, where God's building a house with broken boards and bent nails. I said, I don't know if I can do that. Be a part of that. And the Lord said, oh yeah, you can. I remember putting together an antique refrigerator, ice box, because it was ice box. And I was using nails, the original nails, that were all bent and some were broken. And I would hammer them back in place. So this process of building together with broken boards and bent nails is not easy. It isn't always going to feel good to you. You feel the hammer of the Lord bending you back in place. No, this is what you were made for. This is what you should be doing with your life. What am I doing with my Lord? I'm not doing anything. Why doesn't the Lord just take me? Well, he's got a place for you. And it's in the vise and the hammer, first of all, to make you what you're supposed to be. Second of all, he'll give you a ministry, and it may not be what you think it is. Well, those are all inward things, love, joy, and peace. You don't know that I have them unless I tell you or unless I somehow express them. And the second group is some outward things that are fruit of the Spirit. Patience. You can tell when I'm patient and when I'm not. Is that right, Cheryl? How about goodness? You can tell when I'm really laying hold of the goodness of God and when I'm not. So there are outward things, which are the expression of the inward things, patience, kindness, and goodness. And then there's something about that speaks about the internal character within you, which the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit is doing to his liking by his methods. The internal character of you. That is faithfulness. That is gentleness. Self-control. All of what you need. And are deficient. So I've had enough faithfulness. I'm full up the air. My gentleness just ekes out everywhere. Self-control, I am definitely in control. The Lord said, really? You just have learned the 8th grade science. You need to learn more. So the Lord gives us an idea through these understandings of the gifts and the gift of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit so that we may become more like him. Is that right? It's not so that we can look good to ourselves or to other people. And oftentimes, other people will misinterpret what's going on. So we know what you're doing. You're just trying, you have an agenda, and you just want to be the next elder, or you want to be the next whatever. You want to do, you just want it for yourself. Selfish motivations. There's all kinds of selfish motivations. And Father, we just put them aside. We literally purpose to do that. But only you can help us with that, to put them aside. So next time you pray, the next time you prophesy, the next time you worship, examine your heart. That's not anti-scriptural. Examine your heart is a good thing to do. David did it all the time. He says, oh, worship the Lord, O my soul. How did he know his soul wasn't measuring up except to examine what was going on? And he's like, this is not happening today. Where's my guitar? Let's get that. Let's play that for a while. Let's hear the sound that reaches my ears. You know, every time I pick up my guitar, a musical instrument, I hear sounds that I'd never heard before. How is that possible? Every time you feel the electron push against you, it's a different experience. I'm watching Lillian, who is now in gymnastic competition. She can do flips and, a single flip now, but she's working on the double flip. Right in the air, she's going around in circles, and she lands on her feet. I said, wow, how could she do that? And she doesn't. And the thing is, you can't think about it. It has to be memory, muscle memory, right? It has to be in there, a part of you, who you are. And I watched some of the clips of, you know, the Russian gymnast and the Romanian gymnast, and it's just like they go through jumps that are crazy. How can a human being do that except they have learned how to do it? They've learned what to trust and what not to trust. That's an important understanding, because there's a lot of things that want to gain your trust. You only need to go on the internet for a little while before there's a scam that confronts you. And all of a sudden your computer's locked up. Oh, what was that? Maybe I slowed down too quickly through, you know, some stuff that wasn't supposed to be there. And suddenly your computer's been hacked. Well, we are unhackable in the kingdom of God. Father, we come against all the schemes of the enemy, whether on the computer, the internet, and our friends, and all the things that we have and desire, and we put on you. Give us a desire to become more like you. Not like what we want, but like you. Let us see with your eyes and hear with your ears the differences that come our way. And maybe it won't sound like what we already know. Maybe it'll be different. And so we need the wisdom and a word of knowledge even from the Lord. Let the gifts of the Spirit be our portion during these times, so we can hear your voice clearly and understand it and act upon it, Lord God. And Father, I'm thinking of the parable of the sower. Lord, we turn over the soil of our heart. It's not ready for a new planting, even though it's springtime. The soil of our heart seems to be already hardened for the next crop. Doesn't want any more. But Lord God, we give it over to you. Turn over the soil of our heart. Bring into us a kindness that's not been there before. Bring into us a joy and a peace that has not been there before. And Lord, if it's today, let it be today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.